Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Chuck, I think we are speaking in the right ends of these microphones. I think people can hear us. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Podcasting for Dummies companion podcast. We are back, baby.
Is this thing on?
I think so. If not, we're just talking to ourselves. I am T. Morris, and with me is...
I'm Chuck Tomasi.
See, we got that part right. Now, as you were probably wondering, we fell off the rails. Let's just be honest. We're not going to go into all the details because, man, that's a podcast for itself. Let's just say 2018 has been both cruel and kind to the both of us.
Life got in the way in big ways.
Man, in both positive and negative ways. But the good news is we reached out and we said, hey, we were doing this thing called the Companion Podcast. Should we pick it up again?
I didn't want to leave it laying there half done on the floor.
Oh,
you know,
God,
we did make a personal commitment to get 20 episodes in.
And to give you an idea how rough it is, you can still hear just a little bit of congestion. I have had the crap kicked out of me with a summer cold. Let me tell you, summer colds.
Those are no fun.
Are zero fun. Yeah, but you see, out in Arizona, every day is a summer cold. Come on, what are you talking about? So we're here to talk about accessories. Accessorize. We talk about a lot of cool stuff in our book. But as you know, this podcast goes beyond the book. And we would be amiss if we did not talk about some of the absolutely cool things in depth that you can get for your studio. Now, these are the toys that you don't necessarily have to start off with, and these are toys that have just been introduced in the market. So, Chuck, why don't you lead us off? If you can remember back to that day when you started off as a podcaster, what was like the first snazzy accessory that you bought for your studio?
Oh my! I'd have to say it was a pop filter.
Yep,
I had sensitive microphone at the time, and I didn't really know what the range was for what was the comfortable audio level. Where should I be speaking? And realized that some of the P's and B's were getting blown out. And somebody said, hey, invest in a pop filter, or you can do the old coat hanger and pantyhose trick.
I'd be the first one to say get a pop filter, because yep, the amount of time that you're struggling to get that pantyhose right. And, you know, I mean, MacGyver could do three different training montages by the time you got that thing right. So just go out and just spend the $20 and get a pop filter.
Yeah, they come in different shapes and sizes. T's got one that hooks onto the base of his microphone and then comes up underneath. It's about 4 or 5 inches in diameter. If you want to play metric, you could do about 10 centimeters and works very well. Similar to what you see when you're watching music videos and people are singing into. Yep. There's also just foam covers that fit over the top. I like those, especially when you're on camera. They don't cover as much of your face. So you can see a little bit better around there, but they may... Some may call them a windscreen because I can still blow on it and you get a little bit of breeze through it. But it's there's a couple different ways. And, you know, maybe you want to do belt and suspenders and use both. Nothing wrong with that.
Actually, I think windscreens work better when you are working out in the field.
Definitely.
And when you're doing on the spot interviews and things like that. I don't know if I can even find the windscreen for my H2N. It's somewhere in my house, I know, but I'm actually heading to an event next week, and I'm going to be doing a lot of interviews for a future project we're going to be talking about in this podcast.
Yeah.
But the windscreen tends to just take down some of the surrounding sound a bit. I don't think it works as well as a pop filter, but I do recommend that windscreens, if you're going out into the general public to get interviews and things like that, windscreens are great.
If you're like me and you lost your original one for the H2, you can always go get the $2.50 version at that cover a regular microphone.
Oh, okay.
And if they pull down too far, just take scissors and carve out the LCD part. I've done that as well.
So my first accessory, and I got this from Mike and Eva. was actually, and my cat is sitting in front of it, so I can't really figure out what the actual name of it is, but it is a, it's a headphone amplifier.
Oh, now, yeah.
Now the headphone amplifier, honestly is best for in studio work. And it is also when you know that you're going to have a bunch of people, in this time being, you know, 2 to 4 people.
Yes.
And you have them around, your recording apparatus. So what happens is that you take this, this headphone amp and you plug it into the headphone jack of your mixer board. And then when you do that, you, instead of using a splitter, which will deaden the signal a little bit, you now have a small amp that plugs in any power socket, and it will give you 4 as opposed to 1, 4 headphone jacks. And this is good for people like Chuck and myself who love their drop-ins, and they want everybody to hear the drop-in, because the joke isn't as fun if everybody can't hear the drop-in. And so, you know, the headphone amplifier, they run about, I believe, $50. And they're worth every penny. I have gotten so much use out of this little headphone amp.
Yep.
I think it's well over a decade old, and it's still just chugging along like a champ.
I brought one along from Wisconsin from my previous studio when I moved into Mike Menengay's old house.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, about a week after I moved in, one of his died, and I had the exact same one to replace it with.
Just
you are
swap and replace.
Totally correct. They're cheap, they're easy, and they go and go and go.
They're little workhorses. Little workhorses. Another accessory that I'm a big proponent of, and you know, it's funny, as many people say to me, you're the reason I got into podcasting. Mike Menengay was the reason I tricked out my studio as hard as I did. I know. Well, when you said you were moving into his house and the studio came with it, I was so effing jealous of you. Because that is not a studio. And that's like a James Bond villain lair. I mean,
it definitely has that man cave effect.
Exactly. Prepare to meet your podcast, Mr. Bond, you know, but the thing that he had that you have that I have are these, and you can hear me move it around, these boom mics.
Mic booms. Yes, of course.
Mic booms. Now, there are mic booms that go that stand on the floor. But yep. To me, those kind of defeat the purpose. A mic boom actually attaches to your desk either permanently or with a clamp.
Yep.
And it lifts the microphone up and over as opposed to talking down to it. You actually speak to it. You actually speak into it. It's actually on level with your mouth.
Right.
And just recently, and again, here's a little bleed over and a little teaser into what's coming. I had an extra boom mic left over from the PIY event.
Mm-hmm.
And I was planning to install it in, but I realized I didn't have any room for it. And then there was a streamer that I was watching, a really talented streamer. His name is ZG Photo. And he's over at twitch.tv. I'm doing it very slowly because I can't find my bell. But he's over at twitch.tv/ZG Photo. Ding. And ZG had on his wish list a boom mic. So I got an address to send it to him, and he was over the moon that he got this for his studio, because instead of having to lean in, lean out, now he could just sit back, and he has a if you're watching the video, you can see I'm in a gamer's chair right now, and
I see that.
And the gamer's chair is actually an accessory I'll go into in just a second. But the gamer's chair in mixed with this makes you very aware of your posture, mm-hmm. and actually it's great. It's a great combo. And the boom mic just makes recording easier, not just from a conversational point of view, but also from an ergonomic point of view. So I'm a big proponent of these. Now they can run expensive. They run about $100 a pop.
Yeah, depending on the ones you get, there are right. Different brands, different makes. Do your shopping. Your mileage may vary. That whole thing. I'm going to take a slightly different opinion, so I can give the listener full benefit. Many of us start with a desktop stand.
Oh yeah,
and that's fine. You know, like you said, you are kind of leaning over it. Unless you lower your chair or something. Right. And every time you tap the desk or move your hands around or shuffle your recorder, whatever it is, you're sending this vibration, which gets picked up on the microphone. And we all know microphones are very sensitive. It's second worst to holding it in your hand, you know, with extraneous noise. So a mic boom is nice, but if you, the floor standing ones work in other situations. For example, if you are taking your rig portable, we've got friends, Ben and Keith, over at TG Geeks. Yep. And when they go to a con, they set up their studio in a hotel room. They bring a table, they bring chairs, they bring mics, they bring the mixer, they bring the sound effects. Everything is there, and they use the floor standing ones because they'll stand next to the table and come in position because they're not going to clamp on six of these things. And it's just a more, it's an easier way to do the setup and teardown.
I wish I could say that surprises me, but I've met those guys. That doesn't surprise me at all. None at all.
And they got some wonderful material from those, all that work.
Absolutely, they did. Yes. So, what about you, Chuck? What are some other accessories that you can think of? When we don't necessarily have to dwell on hardware. We can also dive into software if you want.
Software, I would say my number one software tool is Levelator. You know, some people curse it. Some people hate it. But, you know, if we start out with Audacity, it's free. It's a wonderful tool. When it comes to leveling, you know, low spots and high spots, there are uses for it and there are places to stay away from it. If you're just doing straight voice like this one, it does a wonderful job of bringing up the low spots. If T and I are just slightly off level, you know, my eyeball on the VU meters isn't quite right or the mixing isn't exact, I look at it in Audacity and I say, wow, every time I talk, I'm just a little bit lower. And tease a little bit higher, and we want to level that out. I can run it through Levelator, which I believe I'm going to get you an accurate link here. My brain is still on the old website, and I don't want to give away the wrong one. It's at theconversationsnetwork.org/Levelator. And I believe it is available for Windows and Mac still. I don't think they're doing any support on it, but realistically, it's pretty rock solid and still works. I've tested it as late as High Sierra on the Mac. So I know that it's still a robust application. And the idea is that it does all this hard work for you, the fine tuning of making your recording more level across the board. If you're using music, I don't recommend it because as music tends to fade out, it goes, oh, wait, the audio is getting low. Let me bring that up. And it gets a little weird.
Yeah.
And you go, well, that's not how that song is supposed to sound. So it might be a consideration for level your voices, then put the music in for post.
Now, if I remember correctly, Levelator is open source, so it's a nominal cost or is it free?
I recall it's still free.
Okay.
But check the website for any details on that.
So I got to give a quick story about this. I was going through some boxes that we have in the studio, and Chuck, this will take you back. I actually found one of my badges from, I believe it was the last New Media Expo that I attended. I had one of those metal lapel pins that Ambrosia Software was giving out for Wiretap Studio. I tapped that. That's what it said.
I had one of those as well.
Yeah. So, while I don't use Wiretap, I do use something else called Soundboard. Yep. And Soundboard is basically their cart software. A lot of cart software has gone digital now. And Ambrosia Software uses Soundboard. I have been very, very happy with Soundboard for years. It's how I control all my drop-ins. I remember in the 90s when I graduated from college, being at a radio station, first job out of college in my major, and I remember all the cart machines. I remember all those things, and to see that now in digital format is just a dream come true. Cause I mean, you would have walls, I mean, just walls of carts. Now it's all one panel and you can actually make multiple panels, for each show. The Soundboard does run, just under $50 and, it is Mac only. I'm looking at it right now. It is Mac only.
I use something similar on this end called Soundbite. And I love it. Again, multi-rack capability. I think there's one pricing tier for single rack, which is something like 75 carts. When I use that for one podcast, and then I uplifted to, I think it was another $20 or something for up to 5 carts, and then they've got even more. But it was reasonably priced and worked very well. My love affair with that application is that I can fire it remotely from the iPad. I've got an old 2011 iPad that's good for almost nothing, but it makes a dandy remote when I just want to hit buttons during the show.
And just on that note, Soundboard is now offering something called Soundboard Remote, as well as Soundboard for iPad.
There you go.
But there are other Soundboard apps or Soundboard like apps that are out there.
Yes.
So you have a pick of the litter. And these accessories, again, these are things that we gradually added on to our studio. And I would say that so far I haven't made an investment that I haven't been happy with. The only one that I think that, because I've heard some people say, well, what about using limiters and compressors? Limiters and compressors and noise gates as an accessory. Mm-hmm. It's an option. I tended to find that I was spending a lot of time fiddling with it to get it just right. Because if the settings on your compressors or limiters are too dramatic, they can cut you off. They can cut people off if they go too soft in their voice. So you have to be very careful with that sort of thing. I don't know. What do you think, Chuck? I mean, do you use compressor limiters in your studio or not?
I do, because it's built into the big digital mixer I've got.
Right.
And they've been dialed in pretty well for this environment. I did not use them until I got here and it was built in. I had thought about it, but like, you're right. It can make a dramatic change. You've got to get the gate threshold just right. I mean, you really have to understand a little bit more about audio engineering to get into those types of things. It can have an improved effect removing, for example, the AC was just on while you were talking, but you didn't hear it because it wasn't enough to trip the threshold and turn on my microphone. So it can take out some sins that you could do in software later with noise reduction in Audacity, something like that.
Right.
There's lots of places you could go with that, but it takes it out of the dummies realm and really
it takes it out of the dummies realm. And for some podcasters, it would become a test of patience.
Yeah.
Just trying to finagle it just to get it right. And all you need is that one party that you throw where the one buddy walks in, looks at the limiter and goes, what does this thing do? And you're like,
curses. And I didn't take a picture of the dial settings.
Exactly.
And you know, there's a tip right there for you. If you want to take a look at your mixer, once you've got it, dialed in where you want, take a picture, because who knows what gremlins come into my studio, but every once in a while it's like, did a cat walk across the mixer? Something's not working right here. And I go through the settings and just fiddle them back to where they were.
Always a good idea. I got 3 of these little monsters and I love them dearly, but when they go walking across the board, I'm like, you're one step away from becoming a slipper. You realize that, cat. You're one step away.
No, you're one step away from becoming an accessory called a dead cat that goes on your microphone. It's called a windscreen.
There you go. So in closing, Chuck, what do you think? What other things should podcasters keep an eye out for when it comes to accessories, when it comes to knowing when to update and upgrade your studio?
The times when I upgraded my studio were really when I needed more capacity, more capabilities. I started with a 2-channel mixer, then went to a 4. Then I think I got up to, this thing's a 64 channel right now, and I'm using maybe half of them. It's nice to be able to say, hey, you know, I've got to temporarily plug in someone's iPad. Click, click, done. So that's really where the upgrades came from. The microphones were one of those, hey, I heard somebody who sounded really nice, I want to try that out. And I'd go from, you know, the Rode to the Shure to the Heil to, you know, just kind of passing around. But you don't have to start out that way. If you're starting on a budget, do what you can and look at those accessories later on down the road. This is just like any other hobby. And we said it in the book that you know, once you get the basic components, you're going to start seeing things that can improve your experience in doing podcasting. And it makes your life more fun. It makes the audio quality more fun. It just brings a whole new richness to this. But you don't have to go down to the Guitar Center store and drop $5,000 on your podcasting rig day one.
No, because you want to know whether or not this is worth your time.
Yeah.
You want to know if it's worth the investment. And that would be the thing I would say when looking at different accessories, you should always ask that question. How is this going to make my podcast better? How is this going to improve the performance of the podcast? And will it make my podcast sound better? Now, of course, the people selling you the accessories will say, of course it will make your podcast sound better, but they're looking for the sell. This is where the rubber meets the road, and you have to do some research and find out what you're trying to accomplish, and will this accessory help you get to that next level? And you're absolutely right. My first rig, I think, cost from soup to nuts, the entire first rig cost me $400. And to me, I was like, that's a major investment.
It was at the time. I think mine was half of that, and it was still a major investment.
Yeah.
And you know what? We all go back to our old podcast and go, oh, that sounded, you know, the quality was less than it is today.
Right.
But it was made on a fraction of the budget it was made today. And it was one of those, am I going to stick with it? Here it is, you know, 14 years later. And yeah, I'm still sticking with it. So it was a worthwhile investment to start out with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So so I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up this show here. But folks, if we're not wrapped up completely, because we've got this beautiful blog called podcastingfordummies.com. Go on ahead and pay a visit on that. If you're not a blog person, that's okay. We're on Facebook. Look us up, Podcasting for Dummies. You can also go on to Twitter, PFD Authors, as well as Instagram. And if you've got a comment, if you've got a question about accessories that you want to add to your podcast and to your podcasting rig, go on ahead and drop us a voicemail at 703-791-1701. That also works with WhatsApp, so make sure you reach out on WhatsApp. And there's also our email, pfdauthors@gmail.com. Just remember, folks, you're listening to Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, which is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike, United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. So I'm T. Morris over there.
I'm Chuck Tomasi.
And we will see you next episode. Pod on.